Welcome everyone for the weekly English Museum discussion. We have about 1 hour. We have already decided topic, conventional one. So before going to the conventional one, assigned one, if anyone is having any topic or any suggestion, we can take few minutes, or any interview reports or anything. Otherwise, we will invite Venables to present the assigned topic.
Avasarai Bante.
Yes, Kumar.
Yes, Bante. We have received 3 short reports and another email, altogether 4.
So, we can start with that.
Yes, Bante. The first report, Thiruvan Saranai Swamin Mahansa. Need to ask 2 general questions on meditation. Been meditating for the last 4 to 5 years. Fairly good at focusing on the primary object in both sitting, within brackets, focusing on Anapanasati, and walking, within brackets, focusing on movement of the feet, meditation. Also able to stay without thoughts for certain periods of time. When thoughts do occur, is able to let them pass without dwelling upon them. When unable to let thoughts go, is mindful on the production that happens based on the thought, and in time, it also passes. During daily activities, is able to be mindful at most times. When thoughts do bother and mindfulness is lost, is able to close my eyes and regain mindfulness. The mindful, calm state of mind no longer depend on the place nor the people around, whether at a meditation retreat, at home, on the road, etc. Mindfulness continues. Question 1. There is a lesser need to write Kamatan as it used to. Is it good or bad?
No, the question you have to repeat. Yes, please repeat the question.
Yeah. There is a lesser need to write Kamatan as it used to. Is this good or bad?
You have to wait and see. Don't decide. Sometimes you feel like having an interview and really urgent. Sometimes even you are reporting, you have written the report, not much necessary. That's how you become independent of the teacher. And don't let them happen by rational mind. If it is naturally occurring, well and good. You have to practice and see from today onward till you die. Try this. That's the way we are trying to live with the question rather than asking from others.
Yes, Panthi. The question number 2. Currently prefer to do walking meditation more than sitting down. Feels almost lethargic to sit down to meditate. Is this normal?
It is normal. That's a sign of progress. But if you are not facilitating it, if you are not catalyzing it, you may be lethargic. But if you are catalyzing it, if you know how to foster it, you will be a new person. It will be a turning point. So this early sign or precursor of the evolution or metamorphosis. So therefore, just consider it is normal, but consider it's abnormal. It's an extraordinary thing. So therefore, you have to facilitate. That is what the Buddha claimed. I can't do it for you. You have to do it. Because almost all the yogis are lethargic. As the meditation continues, virati or nibbida happens. So they read it as sleepiness or sloth and torpor or slimy mind. But that's the way the turtle is stuck in. Not exposed, not extrovert, not stimulated by others. So therefore, you have to facilitate. That is not by meditation. They facilitate it by proper view. Considering this is a result of meditation. And simple, conventional answer is, you have to follow the timetable. That's the way not to lose the grip, not to miss the bus. We are moving.
The next report, I move to the next report. It is a continuation of last week reports, Savante. I am 6 year old. I did walk in meditation for 45 minutes. As Bante asked last week, I did the print of my foot with watercolors before walking. There was no color between my toes. That part didn't touch the ground when I was walking. The choir mat felt rough and the cloth at the end of was cold. Wooden floor was smooth and cold. At the end, the feet were hurting, but I didn't stop. That's the end of report, Bante. Feet were hurting, but I didn't stop.
So, that hurting means you know it about. If it is not hurting, you will say it is lethargic. It is boring. It is less dramatic. No event. So that is the cause for lethargic. If it is hurting or comfortable, definitely you will get motivated. So if you have make a footprint, you have to send it to me. Through
Bante, it has mentioned she has already sent it to you.
I am sorry, because yesterday also evening till 12 o'clock I was working. So was it in WhatsApp or email? Kumar, you have to mediate it.
Yeah, Bante.
And I will give
a
hint.
Come to me actually.
There you are. The next hint is, if you comes to know what are the points touching the ground, what are the points not touching the ground, just walk on a flat ground and see what is the first touching point, what is the second touching point, the third touching point, and consequently what is the last touch. And that will indicate with the each point. There's one boy in Canada, he found 12 points. And each point has a different angle in your ankle. When your heel is touching, sharp angle. And when it's rolling, the angle of the ankle is changing. And he has recognized 12 touching points and 12 angles. So that means young people, they are completely studying one's own body, complete universal, genuine. Therefore, each and every step is leading to Nibbana, leading to realization, who am I, what am I. So this is the most smooth machine on the earth, not the backhoe, nothing. They have all the kind of hydraulics and all the kind of thing, but they are very, very aggressive. They are very frictionful. This is the way it is happening. There are 8 or 9 bones in the ankle. And in the horse, they are in a series. In the human, they are happening in a different way. So in the evolution, you can study the running animals and the crawling animals and the reptilians and the fish, how these things are happening. So whenever you have ulukkuna can topple, twisted. If the leg is twisted, you can see how difficult to walk. And whenever you see odd place, you don't feel like walking because leg is not supporting. You can't have the smooth run. Only flat ground you can use still with the trouble. So therefore, the day you break your leg, you will understand. Please read Pollyanna. Pollyanna's story is teaching you how to be glad. You must try to be glad under any circumstances. That is the Pollyanna glad game. And ultimately she break the leg. And she finds no reason to be glad. Broken, and it is lifelong damage. And that's the end of the novel. So wherever I go, I purchase this novel and donate, give it to children to see how positive you can think. But the day you break your leg, your reasoning is no more. But when the Pollyanna grown up, at that age, in 1917 in America, they have recovered and she start again a life. So therefore, please help our youngster to study the touching points and a series of touching points and if possible, angles. So I will try to, if you need early examples, I'll try to get it from Canada. We are moving.
Okay, Bhante. I am the next report. I am 8 years old. I walk with my Nangi and cousin Aya. Before we started walking, we all listened Bhante's advice last week. Bhante asked me to look at the not touching food. At the beginning, just like my sister, I also did the footprint. After that, I did walking meditation for 45 minutes. I noted my heel touched the rough mat first, then touched the pillow of the foot, and at last the toes. When I lifted the foot, I felt air all over my foot. I felt the roughness every time I touched the mat, and air every time I lifted the foot. I like walking. That's it, Bhante.
So next, then I will invite the next lesson. You have to walk backward and see how the touching points. Completely different. And you have to climb a mountain up, then different touching point. When you climb down, different touching point. When you are turning, different touching points. So first you have to do flat ground and do in a normal way. And then you have to understand how these touching points are changing in the up climb and hill, climbing up, climbing down, backward. So last time also when I go to Colombo, there was a very elderly female. Asked them to walk backward, closed eyes. And then I utterly mindful, boost mindfulness. Because their eyes are closed, leg becomes the eye. They become the touching point. They never consider this as meditation. How the hell can understand the walking backward and closed eyes as meditation? But the mindfulness is heightened. So these are the diversifications. These are the methods we can diversify and make the meditation as a hobby. Meditation as a game. And you can easily teach others. Walk forward and see the touching and untouching points, sequenced and backward, closed eyes, different ways. We expect another report in the next week also.
Yes, Bhante. The last report, I'm 12 years old. I did walking meditation for 45 minutes. I felt that the pressure of the foot was released when I lifted the foot and the pressure increased when I dropped the foot. On lifting the foot, the sensation were not clear at the beginning. But toward the end, I felt more sensations on the lifting foot. I liked walking meditation. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Therwan Sarnai Bhante.
So you have to see the relativity. When one point is gaining the pressure, equally and opposite, another point is releasing the pressure. Our mind is only bounded with the gaining pleasure type. That is what you call senses-based experience. But you can have inferential knowledge, you can have deductive knowledge when this pressure is coming, how this leg is removing, how the release is happening. It's very well done, very well explained by Venerable Nalaka in Royal College. And when you are preparing a video, he was walking a parapet wall, and the students, grade 10 and 11, down there, he says, you see, when I am walking, you see the release. You see the release. When that is gaining the pressure, slowly this is release. Release is Nibbana. Gaining the pleasure is Sansara. So we are expert in gaining the pleasure. But we have to have spy. How they're releasing the pressure. Each time, one thing is gaining, other thing is, it's a opposite and equal. So that indicates the Nibbana is under your very nose. If you know how to release it, if you know how to focus the attention to the release, but the Buddha itself explained, first you have to understand the pressure gaining. That's a starting point. After a certain amount of mastery, you can see the beginning, the middle, and the end of the gaining. End of the gaining means release. So that is how you can start with the releasing. You can't start with the negativity. You have to start with the positivity. And see the positivity with the beginning, the middle and the end. And then you see, we never manage to see the end of any phenomena. We are too, how do you call, impatient. If you are seeing any phenomena, the releasing leg, and releasing the in-breath and out-breath, and eating and swallowing the morsel, and when you are brushing the teeth, each and every stroke, they have the gaining, and then rubbing, and then releasing. So that discrimination is called thin slicing of time. Don't take it as a one chunk. Then there is a name. Then there is the ethical values. But if you are thin slicing of the time, that this is beginning, this is the middle, this is the end, there is no self. Things are happening, but we fail to see the end because we are waiting the next incoming things rather than outgoing things. So this is how we become slowly, mindfully, silently observe one thing at least. Are we the beginning? Are we the middle evolution? And then release. So there you find all the activities have all these three characteristics. Activity name and the gain and everything is different. But these characteristics are the one the Buddha recognized as the volitional activity. There's the beginning, there's the middle, there's the end. Middle is the what you easy to catch it. Catch it. And then slowly see, you release and wait to see the gaining the pressure. So this is a kind of a physics lesson. It's a kind of the communication problem. It's a kind of all the activities are the same. All the activities have the beginning, the middle and the end. Then you can generalize everything, me and not me, there's no difference. As far as you can't see thin slicing of time and kind of thing, you feel he is not me, I am not he. So therefore his acquaintance of the thing is different from me. Nothing different. Exactly the human. We are moving.
That's all, Bhante, from this side.
Anyone wish to comment on these children? 6 years, 8 years, 12 years. Very hard.
Some of their experiences, I spend days getting similar experiences.
Yeah, that's right. Age is just a camouflage. The young children, they are short to the point. They are short and sweet. Nothing. They are talking only the technical aspect. Elderly people start phrasing and gaining and merits and demerits and presentation and blah, blah, blah. Ultimately, you miss the bus. You lose the essence. Young children, they are so sharp. But to get into that level, you must have long, long, long acquaintance. You have to just tell them, do this. And report whatever you feel. The way you feel, the sequence. And they are giving such a bright, this thing. And they find they are more enlightened than elderly people. Because elderly people with full of mind full. Young children, yes, mindful. So we don't know when we gain that mindfulness. That is our whole society, corrupted, ultimately corrupted. And we like society rather than solitude. So that is why mindfulness, that's a nice cartoon always we are depicting. And mindful and mindful. So children giving such a bright cross-section, and even the parents can't recognize, understand. Even the teachers can't understand. But we have to give chances, opening for them to talk. And writing is a skillful job. But if you are talking, they are so cute, the way they are explaining. Thank you. No one comment, no comments? Then we are going to the...
Asana, sir. So we were discussing Uday Sutta, Uday Mano Puccha, which is available in the Parayana Vagga of Sutta Nipata. So we have reached the fourth verse. Yeah, we have to start the fourth verse. So
Kinsu Sangyojano Loko.
Yes, that's the one. So I'll recite the Pali verse. Kinsu Sangyojano Loko, within brackets, Ichayasma Udayo, close brackets. Kinsu Tassa Vicharana. Kissasa Vipahanena Nibbana Miti Vuchati. Kinsu Sangyojano Loko, Kinsu Tassa Vicharana. Kissasa Vipahanena Nibbana Miti Vuchati. So I'll invite Venerable Dhammavijita to read the translation.
By what is the world fettered? What is its means of traveling about? By the abandoning of what is Nibbana spoken of? Yes, Bhante. By what is the world fettered?
Shattered.
Fettered.
Fettered. Sangyojana.
And what is its means of traveling about? By the
traveling?
Traveling, yes.
No, this is vicharana, that means proliferating. Thinking again and again, a mental traveling, but traveling is leading, giving a different meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And by the abandoning of what is Nibbana spoken of?
So therefore, the translation is very difficult because language is very archaic. So there are, I think, five translations. We are presently making use of Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation because he has referred to many of them and he himself is editing again and again. And still, Kinsutasa Vicharana, Charana is moving. This Vicharana means inquiring mind, inquisitive mind, or proliferating mind, or storytelling, fabrication. So, Charana is traveling means neutral term, but here Vicharana, many people consider as a positive, but the Buddha considers negative. This is what you call fabrication. This is what you call storytelling. That's what you call the literature. Utter nonsense. Whole science is just a fabrication. Just like Bible. Just like Quran. So therefore, people are prolific. So therefore, Venerable Jnananda put in the prolific mental proliferation. And now in the quantum physics, they try to explain the fabrication. The way mind is always talking. Ergo, cogito, sum. I think, therefore I am. Always thinking. So that is the what. Even you shut your mouth, even you stabilize your body, mind is chattering. And that's more aggressive in learned people or social class elite people. But the normal people may be, but they are not talking about it. It is not a burden for them because they have enough to work. They are sweating. But the other people doing only pressing buttons and gaining enough money, and they start chattering. And cannabina, ganja, once you have taken, you can talk on the subject till tomorrow morning. No problem. They call wisdom plant. That is what in Sri Lanka there are some cult groups. This is, we are innocent, we are not troubling others, we smoke little and keep on talking. If you take a stone, he can look at it as a gem. He can talk about. So this is the world today, giving Nobel Prizes, giving Magsaysay Prizes. Prize givers also, nonsense. Receivers also nonsense. And our children always looking forward to that. The Nobel laureates. And they are very happy to listen to them. One day there is a very, very famous person. He has done research on incarnation or rebirth. And he has taken the Godwin as the Sri Lankan agent. And he gave a talk. Very, very expensive person. He loves Sri Lanka and came and gave a talk at Foundation Institute in Kandy. Pin drop silence. He has 10 photos of a child in this life. They have no fingers cut, born And the last life, when the father is cutting grass, he has put the hand and broken. But that was not the cause for the death. But the next life, you can see finger marks. And he start talking and went to India. He was now in some other countries. And another person is big scar, birth sign. And he told that some hot water fallen mistakenly by mother and died. Next life you have. And pin drop silence. So one Dr. Parakram Fernando came and asked him that I have a question. I can't remember the name, it's good. Eh? And he says, do you believe reincarnation? He says, I have never thought about. He's going all over the country to teaching reincarnation. He has never thought, I am also a reincarnated person. I am with a rebirth. So he wanted to ask, if you believe and if you are going to profess it, what must be your prime task now? Mind your own business. Go to the world around and giving other people. In Sri Lankan, utter fools, they all believe. But when the foreigner comes, they purchase heavily expensive tickets and giving, listening to them, thinking that Westerners also believe in that. So that kind of a nonsense. But that particular person has mentioned, even though I give prolific talks and the bright talks, I don't know whether I am believing it or not. I have never thought about. So this is the way vicharana also. People just prolifically thinking. They think it's a gain, but it's a cancer. It's a disease. It's a fabrication. It is storytelling. It is ignorance. Because if the flame is burning, if it is moving here and there with the cross currents, the candle will not burn in a proper way. But if you put a chimney, the flame will be upright. And the candle wax will be used in a proper way. Today we are while away our time by vicharana. But that also can be put in the samma vitakka, micchā vitakka. You can put it in a correct way also to think, what is the agenda? Who is the person behind this thinking? Is it my baby? Or can I stop it? Or can I divert it? Till Aquinas, the father, tell to the bishops, everyone told that is a God will of the God. The Aquinas, I don't know, father or whatever, maybe he told, no, there's a will. Person can know, my think is prolific, and knowing that is a control. It is not to control. Just knowing, it's a cancer. It's a prolific going. Be aware. Then slowly you can impose the mental restraint. Before that you have to have the verbal and physical restraint. Otherwise, if you do not know, you are running in the whole day without an agenda. Who is fixing the agenda? No one knows. Knowing that there is no person, but I am just a slave, it's a game. You must have such a personality to understand someone is running the machine. I call it is me. I call it is mine. I call it is my soul. The Buddha says, disclaim it, it is not me, it is not mine, it is not my soul. Very difficult to communicate this in the sensuous world. But if you are going to the meditation and try to keep the attention with the breath or rising and falling or left and the right leg kind of thing, whenever the mind comes to the mindfulness, be in the present moment, then you can understand the mind is now little qualified. Be prepared to understand how the mental proliferation is happening. Otherwise you don't know. Not a single professor on the earth have that authority. Not a single Supreme Court judge have that authority. They are run by books. And lucky enough, Sri Lankan forest monks, no one knows. They only know village monks. No constitution talking about the forest monks. No rights. They are not fighting. They are maintaining, they are meditating. So no one knows. I had the chance. I was the first forest monk to go to the president. Last president, I told, you don't know, Sri Lankan constitution don't consider we as citizens. Even the aboriginals are taken. Because we are not going for the vote. They are gaining nothing. Law is Roman Catholic law. When a court case happens, monk is judged by a Buddhist judge, given by Roman Catholic law. How can their justice be there? So because of this vicharana, their degrees and their certificates and their examinations and everything is on this proliferation. The Buddha says it's a disease, but you have to understand, don't treat it. Just be aware, there's no soul. It's not me. It's not mine. But the translation, if it is going, vicharana means traveling, utterly misleading. There's a nuance of meaning. There's a shadow of traveling also, but it's a mental traveling. It's a mental proliferation. So we are not feel guilty by not giving the proper translation, but we as a practitioners, we have to don't believe much on the literal translations, but you have to have your own translation. And the next thing also, Udaya Manava Puccha. The next phrase also, his question, there is a newcomer. His question is enlightening question. Buddha can give one word answer. But if you are asking such a fabricated question, it's very difficult to give a short answer. But I'm not telling everyone should have a short answer. But the question is so. That particular person has traveled 1,800 miles, kilometers, to meet the Buddha with the instruction of the teacher. So that means they have practiced enough and they knew Buddha is there. So they travel and asking the question by mental thinking. Buddha is giving verbal answers. So the last one also the same. By relinquishing what? You become Nibbana. You go to Nibbana. Relinquishing desire. So he has pinpointed, he has shooted on the bullseye. Very easy to give a correct or wrong answer. So that is why the specific nature of the Suttanipata, this book, and specifically the Parayanavagga, very difficult to give a literal translation. But we started with literal translation, and then when you keep on continuing, we see they have done a great job, but that's not the ultimatum. You have to have your own translation, and with the help of all the teachers, that is what I thought of contributing. I am happy to open the discussion for the flow.
Asaraya Sanasa, now basically the question is related to what is the fetter which is causing this sort of mental proliferation and what needs to be abandoned in order to attain Nibbana. So I'll read the answer that Buddha has given so that we'll have another level to discuss based on the answer. So Buddha answers like this. Nandi sangyojano loko, within brackets, udayati bhagava, vitakkassa vicharana, tanhaya vipahanena nibbana miti ucchati. So Buddha basically says, nandi sangyojano loko, vitakkassa vicharana, tanhaya vipahanena nibbana miti ucchati. So we listen to the translation.
The world is fettered by delight, thoughts. Thought is its means of traveling about. It is by the abandoning of craving that Nibbana is spoken of.
So that's what I told. The question is well directed. Therefore, answer is one word. Buddha using the same the lyre or same in the Gatha and give a one answer, one word. That is because the question is well directed. Otherwise, Buddha has to rephrase the question before answering. That's what we were reading in Sinhala discussion. The Buddha says, "No, this is not the way to ask the question. Put the question this way, and then answer is it is answerable." Today, many people are asking questions. They don't know what they are talking about. Specifically, if you are talking with the young children, ask any question. They have quick and short answers, but you must communicate it to the child. They are not in question. They are in a very free mind. But if you can just give a question, they give so quick answers. But hardly we are listening to the children. But hardly, it is hard to communicate children, to communicate the question. But they are not in a question. But if you ask, there are a lot of YouTubes, the young child arguing with the mother, arguing with the father. I'm very vehement. Yes, no. But the mother and father is asking so much twisted way. No. In Sri Lanka, there were two children. In the past life, they have been in the heaven. And they used to talk very freely. And the mother is a meditator. Then one day, mother is taken to the lab and asking particular questions, recorded. And the child is giving free hand. This is what it happened. This is what the world I left. And you people are different. And these, I don't know whether fabrication or not. But the mother is very sharp, asking the question in the motherly way. And the child is giving the answer. Do you have past memory? Tuzamzu?
No, sir, I
know. You are very, very shrewd. Say easy to say no.
I'm sorry. Now, typically we know that the fetters, sanyojana, they are the ones binding us to a certain level so that we are not allowed to get free. Here, interestingly, Buddha says, nandi sanyojana loku. Nandi, the delight, as a kind of a fetter, as a binding factor.
That's called pleasure principle.
Yeah.
Sigmund Freud reduced to the single word, pleasure principle. Animals and humans, young, middle, old age, always pleasure. No one reached. So much of scientific tools, so much of communication, so much of infrastructure, no one reached. But still, they are going in pursuit of pleasure. So they are reptilian. They are not human. They don't understand this the circling way. Mukadde vankagiriyata mukadde kiyanne labyrinth still going, and not the cursed. Worst thing is sacrificing the children to listen to this bullshit, so called scientists, so called lawyers, so called bankers. They are crocodiles. I don't know. I also have gone through it, and I had the notion even when I'm going to schools, but when I read again and again the Buddha, he has given the path, they throw away. It is not scientific. The science education is good. We are in the third world country. We are giving tuition classes and send it to this and that. Ultimately, they hate children, parents. They hate teachers. It's a kind of a response. Each and every child is hating. But they know they are twisted. They are not into the proper, smooth, aesthetic way. So, the one UK lady told me, "Bhante, it is worth to raise a dog than a child. They are very obedient, wagging the tail." All the children hating parents. So, what a curse. Because the nandi, because of the desire. So, ultimately, that giving reciprocally, give the friction, give the burning, dharata parilaha. Well, people are very happy. They think that children are very auspicious and very lucky and having children and all the kind of thing. But they also have their gain. Marry and have children, What a vicious cycle. So living in the forest and no wife and having a solitude place, people say we are not, even we are enlightened, we don't know how to live in the society. Because you are like aboriginals, you are living in the forest, you can't live in the society, it's a challenge. Yes, it's a challenge. For what? Yesterday we both were in Kalam town, in the center. Car is broken, heating like anything, and people come and help all the way, but the car is boiling. Heat. So at least 1 hour. We were there and we were having, we can't say, no, they can't say, we are not, we don't know how to live in the society. And people came and helped, and we came with a hired vehicle. And he was throughout, he was video. He is doing a shooting. Another 20 minutes maybe. 15 to 20 minutes. If someone is happy to contribute. Join.
Yeah, now typically we are talking in length about the 10 fetters and this and that, so much of information. But here, interestingly, Buddha summarized the whole thing to simply the delight. That means you have some kind of an attachment, some kind of a delight. So you are not able to go away because you have some satisfaction, you have some pleasure. So that pleasure becomes the binding factor, so that you are being kept there without being released. So I think it's an interesting way of presenting it, summarizing the whole fetters into just one.
That is called motivational theory.
Mm.
To do something, you must have a motivation. So you have to either give a reward, or you must have your own senses satisfaction. So motivational theory. So to become a monk, what the motivation? To achieve Nibbana, what is the motivation? You are ultimately losing the motivation. Starting with that motivation, sabba dukkha nissarana nibbana satya karanattaya imam kasavam gahitva pabbajetumam bante. You go and offer yourself to become monk. Ultimately, motivation, any motivation is filthy. Any motivation is defiled. But the reward is an accepted fact. In the society, they never find any malice in there. Always giving rewards. But it's a bait. It's a bait. So, children raised, the parents has to give, make them obedient. So, in the present hidden curriculum, one thing is socializing children. Second thing is phrasing. Third one is punishment. So we have gone through this, the mill, as school children. Ultimately, we know how to hate the society, how to hate organizations. But many do not know. They believe organization. They try to cope up with that organization. Ultimately, they become slaves. They become factory workers. They utterly engaged. But to not to have desire or the delight is lethargic, less dramatic, and nauseatic, and slimy of the mind, and sloth and torpor. No go. That is the present day in our meditation centers. Many people, they experience meditation is very lethargic, very difficult, and very... Can you explain your words? He came with so much of enthusiasm. Black guy.
Vasarai Swaminanse. Yes, through personal experience, I had such a great vision coming to Sri Lanka, renouncing all these worldly pleasures, material possessions. And once I started getting into the practice, I came to realize that it's kind of difficult to put it into words, but the lethargic state of mind, it's just a state where nothing is really giving you any motivation, because you sort of see that it's a dead end. Nothing really leads to anything satisfying, anything pleasurable. So everything seems very boring.
Dull, pale.
Yes.
Damn.
Even the body does not want to eat. You start developing aversion towards food. The slightest bit of interaction with your fellow meditators, it can sort of become an annoyance.
So we call vegetarian.
Yeah.
Vegetable. Vegetable is no go. He's just a vegetable.
Yes.
Vegetarian, nothing, and you can be vegan.
Nothing is particularly joyful. Nothing is particularly sorrowful. There's no happiness.
No dopamine hormone. No histamine hormone in the mind.
Yeah.
So it is just like a sick animal. Just be there.
Yeah. And I find the advice to stick to the timetable very helpful, because when you're in a monastery like this, there's not much need to think. Everything has been laid out for you. So your work is just to meditate. Don't think too much. Just follow the timetable.
That's how our chief monkey was telling. Whatever the achievement you got, whatever the discouragement you got, just adhere to the timetable. And then you are obedient servant. And your restraint happen physically, verbally and mentally. Because it is time-tested timetable, just like regimentation, just like in the army camp. Given the command, do it. Ultimately, when you pass that's the depression level or the boring level or monotonous level, then you see at the end of the boring level, it's a huge energy. If you stop the timetable, you will never reach that. You will have a different interpretation about the meditation, monastic life. So if you maintain the datum, the skeleton, the timetable, you see that the lethargic nature is one stage, one episode in the metamorphosis. It's in the cocoon. The butterfly, before becoming a butterfly, is in a cocoon. No movements. And that is where the caterpillar become a moth. Complete body reshuffling.
Transformation.
That's called metamorphosis. That's called evolution. That's called plasticity of your brain. Plasticity of your nervous system. It is not a hardwired circuit. So when that is happening, you must not do anything. Let the chemical body to happen. Let the nature to run. And you are just to become succumb to the situation. Ultimately, a butterfly will come out. Don't disturb.
I'm going to be a butterfly?
Yeah. Just be like a sting, like a bee, and move like a butterfly. Cassius Clay.
I've heard that saying before.
Sting like a butterfly, bee, and moo like a butterfly. In Burma, butterfly means consciousness. Consciousness is known as the butterfly. Chinese literature also the same. Consciousness is known as butterfly, because that Lao Tzu, one day when he was sleeping, in a dream he became a butterfly. He finds so light, and dream was so lucid. And after waking up, he wrote, I don't know whether butterfly see a dream of a human or human see a dream of a butterfly. So then or not, whole Chinese thinking, it's called consciousness butterfly. Before that, metamorphosis, transformation. You have anything to add? Yes? Tomorrow, Venerable Uduya Dhammaloka will come.
Tomorrow?
Venerable Uduya Dhammaloka Hamadru will come here.
I don't know. I guess I wasn't expecting to come here to start off with.
Aham ben kiwi. Mata kiwa me suddek kai lina pitu edilai kiya. Manko ahane yanawa manta man erga yinna kiya. So I just went there. He do not know who am I. I don't know he who is. And I lost my bag also. On the way, car broken. So it's a boiling pot. Now we know it.
The interesting thing about the filming that I did yesterday, I think the reason I did it is because I think being in Sri Lanka, I feel like I've gone back in time in a very positive way. And I know that in future, when I come back, it would have been transformed. And we'll never be able to see this in this sort of almost innocent or naive way ever again. So it's nice to actually be able to see it and film it and remember it and say, but I was there then. It's like going back to Cambodia in 2000 or something when, you know, and you see a different world. And if you go there now, it's all high-rise buildings and Marriott.
Non-returnable. Non-returnable progress.
Exactly. And being here is kind of, you see children playing with balls and riding bicycles. It's like I grew up as a child. They're not playing with mobile phones. So, and I think one of the reasons I knew I would be either at a monastery or a temple or a monastery, I wasn't sure what form it would be, but I prepared a number of questions and feelings that I really wanted to hope to solve while I was here. And I guess the thought of meditation and keeping your keeping yourself mindful is one aspect, but yet somehow I'm hoping that the meditation is going to help me find the solution to these issues that I want to resolve. You know, and 'cause before I came here, people asked me what I want from this, what I hope to get out of this, what do I want to take away? And sort of like the key words were want, get, and take. And I didn't like those. It felt like you're taking something. And I felt more like I want to walk away with achievement and accomplishment rather than taking. You know, right. You feel like you want.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how keeping your mind free from everything I'm actually going to solve what I how I'm
so api sangya vansala denna pare me patten bus yanna thaka thibuna dewasa bus there's a car both the drivers came and instructed us this is the way you have to do it don't put water and if it is so engine must be running it's just like their car and bringing water and everything and we were waiting nothing to do he also helping. So about 1 hour, we are on the street. And we don't know who he is helping. They don't know who am I. So it's a kind of a awakening. Kind of a awakening into a dream. So after 1 hour, I was exhausted. On the way, I was napping. And soon I come here, there was a Dhamma talk here. I know that I have to come and give a talk. So this is the way for us monks experiencing the town. For us monk experience the civilization. So it's a curse. But civilization is not asking me to come. I am going. I am the person going. So I take my responsibilities.
Yes, Anasa, now actually here also we discussed about the fetters, delight, everything and about the motivation. And where are you coming? Where are the motivation coming for you?
So that is what called motivational theory. And people appreciate the motivation. But the Buddha says that's a root cause. If you are not motivated, you are no more. Ergo cogito sum. I think, therefore I am. That's the beginning of the Western psychology. And people wanted to analyze it, but they are not worried about that. Because they are phrasing it. But the Buddha is completely other way around. The delight and the root cause, everything is inbuilt, but it is you are not the answerable, not the omnipotent, omnipresent God. He says you can't find the root cause, but he says I can find the end. Pubba koti na panyayati, ito pubba na jayati. But I know the end. Understanding, everyone is motivated by a desire, and they are doing something innocent. And we feel, other people say he is not legal, he is not ethical, he is not restrained. What the hell? Animals, they don't have that. They don't have tension. They don't have cancer. They don't have frustration. But no one is judging. So these ethical rights, so social ethics. So now I am reading a book. It is not a Buddhist book. But goes into the Kohlberg theory of hidden curriculum. How this education system imposed the curriculum by the God-created world, by the intelligent design. And it's utter failure. Because they wanted to prevent the communist theory. They want to have the socialism, the capitalism. And this is such a deep this thing. And they have discussed it and published the book in 1976. He says, my book will never be popular. Because people happy with the motivational theory. People happy with the desire theory. He is going to the root. Where does the children understand motivation? And Piaget is saying something, Kohlberg is saying something, and he says something the people inbuilt. Some people think it is by the society. He says it is not explainable by these variables. There are some more. And they are finding the children outside. They are not thinking about myself as a child. Miss the bus. But the very fabricated theories. For me it is very interesting when I am working with Mindful School, because Education Ministry or National Institute of Education, they are completely blind. They don't know. So I have to understand as a child, what motivated me to create the Mindful School? What is the desire to have a success in the Mindful School? What motivated me to declare the Sri Lanka as a universal mindful village? There's a kind of a drive. I am striving. If it's a failure, I consider it as my failure. If it's a success, I will become a genius. All are dreams. All are butterflies. But each and everyone is having their own secret. So much so they are called commoners. They are called individuals. But if you understand everyone is having desire, every desire is wrong, and therefore nothing to worry, we all are in the same boat. Then we can communicate. Then we can understand each other beyond all the boundaries and the sectarianism. But that's not the way economic is running. Politics are running. But we in the monastery, we can do it. Someone is cooking, we go in a row and receive something. We have a prepared rooms, we go and sleep. We have a given timetable, adhere to the timetable, just like cockroaches, just like ants. I mean, oh, command is coming, I don't know. Very obedient, very, very faithful. And that is what we can do the best, because we are not contributing to the global warming. We are not contributing to the pollution. We are not interfering other psychologies. So therefore it is, I think, quite not the best, but quite a good model. We live with the society, the nature, and we can see some other birds of the same feather living together. That we call family bond. We call mindful family. So therefore, we can't say we have no desire or pleasure principle. We have. But it is laid down by our teachers or Buddha. So we are just obedient, idiot obedience. Obedient idiots. I'm very happy. Solo. Not happy. Okay, now it's time up. So thank you very much for the participation. We'll be hopefully meeting in the next week also. And tomorrow we have interviews. Thank you for the participation.
Avasarai Bante.
Yes.
Just that three kids reports, what you have requested, that photos I think already sent to you on WhatsApp it seems. Just now inform me to let you know.
Her age and the name available?
That I'm not sure about, Panthi, because it's not come to me.
I have thousands of that kind of thing. I wanted to have their name.
Yes, yes.
And the age.
It is there, it seems.
Good. Thank you, Kumar.
Okay, thanks.
Avasarai Swaminatha. May all celestial beings share in the merit produced by today's teaching, and may they protect the Dhamma explanation and offering of the Buddha and his disciples for a very long time. May our relatives and all beings share in the merits of today's teaching, and perhaps the seeds of Buddha's teaching that have been planted in our hearts and minds, May they grow, produce path, fruition, and nirvana. I invite you to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for sharing the merits.